Yes, the Kaiser Chiefs with Modern Way. This is Adam Buxton.
My name's Joe Cornish.
And are you all right there, Joe?
I'm a bit distorty, but that's okay.
Okay. We're your hosts for the next hour and 55 minutes here on London's XFM. I'd go so far as to call XFM not only the greatest radio station in London, but I'd think, you know, as London's like one of the greatest cities in the world,
It's got to be one of the greatest radio stations in the world,
you
know?
In the world, exactly. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, and we've got one of the greatest shows on the greatest radio station in the world coming up for you. Music from the Strokes, Hot Hot Heat, the Decemberists. Who are they?
Oh, they...
That's happened since I've been away. The Decemberists.
They're going to be big this December.
Well, they're going to be passé by January,
aren't they? By January, no one's going to want to know about
them. What's going on? The Gorillaz, the Like Pulp, we've got box sets of The Exorcist to give away, all five films.
Wow.
Including both insane prequels. We're going to have
five
in the doc.
When, how are there five Exorcist
Because they
films?
Made the first one twice.
Oh.
Because they got it wrong.
Yeah. And was that worth seeing? Can I just ask you quickly?
I haven't seen either of them, so I'm going to try and steal one of these prizes.
Yeah.
I'm also going to launch a new competition.
Wow.
A bad one. It's kind of a one-week-only competition, a lazy competition.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Laser competition?
Lazy.
Laser tag?
But
and
more about that later,
I want you. I want to quiz you as well about your trip to L.A.
Okay.
Last week, I was on my own, listeners. I was told that I apologised too much.
Who told you that?
A couple of friends that were listening said, stop apologising. It's a motif in my life. I apologise a great deal.
Yeah.
But I won't do any apologising this week. I will instead just be quizzing Joe Cornish about his exciting whirlwind trip to L.A. last
weekend.
Some
things I can tell you about, Adam. Some I can't.
Oh, of course, Joe. That's taken as read.
Yeah.
A lot of names
some
that you won't be able to mention.
Limits.
Sure. Deals that are being done, legal problems, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Shall we play some music?
Yes.
Here's The Strokes. Oh, you're so cold. I'm cold. Don't talk to me about cold. I'm freezing. What am I talking about? That's The Strokes with Jukebox. I quite like that one. That grows on one.
Mm.
Don't you agree?
Yes, I do agree with
you. Yes, I do. You love rock music, don't
you,
Joe?
Yes, I do. In fact, talking of loving rock music, a bit later in the show, I'm going to keep XFM listeners up to date with the latest developments in the world of R&B. In particular, the new single from R. Kelly.
Good.
Which is quite incredible. I'm going to play you some highlights from it.
Really?
A little bit later. You will not believe your ears.
In light of allegations or just generally?
Allegations free. It's an extraordinary, innovative piece of R&B that everybody who's interested in popular music should be aware of.
Oh, so this is a non-ironic big up for R. Kelly, is it?
Not really. Just wait till you hear it.
Okay.
Maybe in the second hour we'll do that.
Oh, I want to hear that now, man. That's
really
exciting.
We've got too much else to talk
absolutely
about.
Absolutely, yeah. No, let's leave it till the second hour. I'm
by the way, this is Adam and Joe on XFM, and you can text us on 83XFM. You can telephone us 0871-222-1049 when the time comes, and you can email us adamandjoe@xfm.co.uk. But the text is the main way to reach us, 83XFM, with any comments, queries, or entries.
Yes, Joe's scanning those texts. He's you know, keeping on top of all of them extremely efficiently.
Yeah, it's not very difficult.
We've also got Lila here. She's beautiful. She's talented. She's got hair and glasses. And she's our producer. Give us a kind of shout out, Lila.
Hello.
There you go. She's quite severe, and if you're naughty, she's going to be sarcastic and spank you. She's also got a filthy mouth. Can I just say that? You swear more than any girl I've ever met, in the most revolting way as well. You should really wash your mouth out. Anyway, she's an excellent producer, and we're very pleased to have her here. Now, when do you think we'll do your new competition, Joe Cornish?
Well, coming up quite soon, we'll do the new competition. But before we do that, Adam, I want to know about your phone, because remember, before I left, Adam had lost his mobile phone. He put out a plea on the radio. And I'm sorry to go over this again for people who were listening last week, but you found it, right? Somebody called you up.
I'll give you the short version. Yeah, when I came in, I was in a total state. Alex Zane, host of future host of
Space Cadets, the big new Channel 4 reality
on
show
on E4. Anyway, he advised me to send a text to my phone saying, if you find this phone, call this number,
and you get a reward
for
right?
a cash reward. Yeah,
so someone bought it back. What sort of person was it that had found your phone, and were they the person who stole it?
Oh no, they didn't steal it,
right,
because I was cycling and it fell out of a pocket of mine.
What sort of person was it?
How do you mean, like a
young person, an old person, a man, a woman?
It was a white male, aged, I would say, mid-30s.
Okay.
low-income bracket.
How could you tell that?
He looked... He was so pleased when I gave him his reward.
Which was, I hear, £20.
Yeah, do you think that's really mean?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I would expect at least 50, actually.
Would you?
Yeah.
I feel bad about it.
£20 is like a pound these days.
Really?
Yeah.
He was delighted about it.
Was he?
Yeah.
He's probably gonna spend it on crack, then.
No, he wasn't that kind of person. He was a...
Smack?
He was a really nice guy, in fact, and I felt... I did feel bad about it afterwards. No, nothing like that.
Some doobie.
He probably would have gone out and bought potatoes with it.
Potatoes.
Or seeds to grow things.
Really?
Yes! But,
Was he a farmer?
He was maybe a farmer. A farmer of men.
what?
I don't know. But I did feel bad about it. The thing is, I explained last week, I had been such a git and not followed up on Alex's brilliant scheme. You see, what I should have done is phoned home to see if I had any messages from anyone who'd found the phone and responded to the text.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. I went straight from the XFM studios to an O2 shop, bought myself a new phone, got myself a new contract like a jerk, then got home having spent loads of money signing up with a new contract and everything to find that someone had found the other one. So I wasn't in a generous mood by that point, you know what I mean?
Now you've got two phones.
No, I gave the other one back and I got all my money back.
It's good to have two phones. You put them in each pocket and you get cancer on both testicles.
That's,
Should we play some music?
Yeah. That would be nice as well to keep you warm in the winter.
Mm. Keep your nuts warm.
Yeah,
Roast your nuts. Yeah. Roast chestnuts.
That's
what? It's getting Christmassy.
It's getting Christmassy.
Play some music quickly.
Getting away from the unpleasant, C-word stuff that's unproven and, Right, now this is a song. This is a song by Hot Hot Heat. They were hot for a while, and then ironically, given their name, they stopped being hot for a while, and I don't know if they're hot or not. They're still called Hot Hot Heat, and this is a song called The Middle of Nowhere, which is quite good, I think. See what you think, listeners. I think it's gonna be a hit.
Yeah.
That's Hot Hot Heat with Middle of Nowhere. This is Adam and Joe on XFM. You didn't see Jules Holland last night, did you, Joe?
I saw some of it, yes.
Did you see Doughty?
I did see Doughty because I thought he'd do something outrageous.
Outrageous!
And he kicked over a mic stand.
Ooh, and it hit the guitarist.
He did it quite early in the song, and then I thought, well, he's going to follow it up with something even more outrageous, but it didn't happen.
He'd drawn a little squiggle on his face.
He had a sort of Bowie-style lightning.
It was like a little green snake coming out of his eye.
Yeah.
I thought it was rubbish.
The song?
The song.
The performance?
Just the whole situation.
I was disappointed he didn't fall over or, you know, hurt somebody or
something. I thought he was going to push over some amps onto someone.
I was disappointed he was there, basically. You know?
I was. I liked the beatbox guy they had on.
Oh, I didn't see that bit.
He was amazing.
I didn't like Texas.
Oh, I thought they were pretty tuneful.
I found that like being killed.
Really?
Yeah, slowly.
They had Ed Harcourt. Do you know him? He's a good singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
He was sat in the audience. He wasn't even performing.
Really?
I wouldn't go on one of those shows again, though. Do you remember we went... You came to the New Year thing one year, didn't you, with
me? Well, we went with Travis once, didn't we?
Yeah.
Didn't we?
And we were made to stand at the back and...
Rightly so.
Yeah, and we couldn't even sit down. It was really uncomfortable. We couldn't move for about 2 hours while they were taping. And it was such a boring collection of bands they had on there. Obviously, apart from Travis.
Yeah.
But, it was torture. Wouldn't go on there again. Anyway, Doughty, however you pronounce your name, I think it's time to pull your finger out.
What do you mean by that? What should he do?
Pull his finger out. I don't know. I think,
He's quite tall, isn't he?
Is he?
He seemed to be taller than the rest of his band.
Maybe anyone who's seen
them live can tell us.
I think he's
Is he a tall man or are they all midgets?
I think he's a titchy man.
Do you?
Yeah, he's stunted with all that drug abuse.
Really?
Definitely.
I guess that's why he likes the drugs as well. There's less body to travel around.
That's right.
More powerful.
He's such a little man. No, I think he should get back with the Libertines, you know?
Do you think?
They were good.
He is good looking, though.
Are you having some doxing?
No, Lila doesn't agree. You know, I'm not saying that I personally find him attractive, because that would be faintly homosexual.
You want a slice of beet!
But you can see why, you know, some women are obsessed with him.
Moss.
He's very babyish looking.
Yeah, they want to mother him.
He's very thin.
He's got a good figure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He should just be a model, really. Drape himself over Moss. Don't you think?
Absolutely. I don't even know if they're still going out. Are they going? I don't...
Who cares?
I care! They're famous! What are you talking about?
So listen, shall we do my new pathetic quiz?
Okay, we should do some adverts first, and then play a song, and then we'll come back with your pathetic quiz.
Yeah, and the prize up for grabs is the complete anthology of The Exorcist. That's a box of pure evil.
Pure evil, coming up shortly.
XFM. Love music. Love music. Love XFM.
It's Dare. Yeah, that's the Gorillaz with Dare. The noughties answer to the Banana Splits.
Gorillaz? Oh, they're better than the Banana Splits, come on.
Yeah, I didn't say they were worse than them, they're the sort of answer to them.
Yeah, I suppose
yeah?
So. Yeah.
And thanks to everybody who's texted in about Pete Doherty's height. Apparently he is over 6 foot. Says someone who's seen him live.
He's a giant junkie.
He's a giant. Somebody's saying that he looks like Jamie Cullum's evil brother, evil twin.
Wow. He'd have to be pretty evil to be Jamie Cullum's evil twin.
Yeah.
Jamie Cullum's somebody's evil twin already.
Shall we do a competition?
Yes!
Competition time. You could win a DVD or tickets to a show. You just never know. So sharpen up your brain and get ready to play!
So this is a new competition, listeners. The number's 0871-222-1049. That's the first thing you need to know. 0871-222-1049. The second thing you need to know is that the prize is five evil DVDs. All five Exorcist films, including the Paul Schrader prequel. And who was it? Rennie Harlan, who did the other prequel that went all wrong? That one as well. And the original film. And Exorcist II, The Heretic. And Exorcist III, the whatever it is.
Exorcist III is good.
It is good. It's got that brilliant bit where the guy with the giant shears runs down the
surgical
end of
shears of
the hospital corridor.
That's right.
Very scary. So that's a good prize.
That is a good prize.
Not good if you don't like evil.
No, you've got to like evil.
You've got to embrace evil.
If you enjoy evil, then give us a call.
And this is the competition. I apologise for the competition. I was trying to find a crap commentary, but I couldn't find anything, so I came up with this instead. Adam's just brilliantly named it Movie Lingo Bingo. What we're going to do is play you a clip from the foreign version of a very famous film. So you're going to hear a very famous scene from a film, but it's going to be in Italian. How extraordinary.
Movie Lingo Bingo.
I don't believe it. And you've got to tell us what film it's from. So this is a chance for bilingual listeners, especially those who speak Italian, or Italian listeners, to jump the gun for the idiotic, what do you call someone with just one lingual?
A monolingual.
Mono, for the idiotic monolingual listeners.
Lingual.
And to win, Italians love evil, so I bet we're going to get an Italian person, you know, winning The Exorcist.
Pepe, they are talking about evil on the radio.
Your mother eats pasta in... You know where I was going with that?
I love evil. Oh, your oh, you were going somewhere dirty.
No, I was, no. I was just going to do an Italian version of that rude line. Anyway. So should we play the clip?
Yeah.
0871-222-1049. If you want to win Evil on DVDs, tell us what movie this foreign clip is from, and what scene from what movie?
Navi da combattimento in fiamme al largo dei bastioni di Orione. E ho visto i raggi B balenare nel buio vicino alle porte di Tannhäuser.
What kind of competition is this?
E tutti quei momenti andranno perduti nel tempo come lacrime nella pioggia.
Lacrime nella pioggia.
It's quite good, isn't it?
It would be better if you, if they'd all, you know, dubbed the music as well. The music kind of gives it away. That is one of the most famous music scores in history.
Well, I thought I'd, you know, do an easy one to start with.
Yeah. It's lyrical, though, isn't it?
It's like poetry in any language.
Absolutely.
0871-222-1049, if you know what scene from what film that was. You know what would be good? If someone called in who actually knew that speech. and they could talk along to it in English, translate it for us.
Yeah, we spent many an evening reciting that.
Yeah, we spent many an evening trying to work out what he's actually saying.
That's right. There's a couple
arguing
of
about
difficult
it.
Lines in there, aren't there?
0871 222 1049. If you want to win the Exorcist box set and know what film that was from, call now!
Okay, here's a free play for you right now. This is Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers. Come on, that's Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers with She Cracked. This is Adam and Joe on XFM. It's competition time. We
yes.
asked you if you could identify...
What's the competition called?
It's called, Movie Lingo Bingo.
Yeah, Movie Lingo Bingo. Not because it's bingo, but if someone wins it, we're just going to say bingo!
Bingo!
Thereby justifying the name. So we've got a couple of people on the line who think they know... should we play it again, or is it too long?
I'll play a little snatch.
Play a little snatch.
Navi da combattimento in fiamme al largo dei bastioni di Orione.
Grazie mille.
Grazie mille. So, Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Chaps.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm very well.
You don't sound like you're a fluent Italian speaker, are you?
No.
No. So, but yet you still think you know what that clip is. How have you recognised it?
Just by its intimacy.
It's intimacy.
Mm. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, yeah. So where are you going with this one, Jeff? What do you think it is?
Is it a scene from Ghost?
Which scene do you think it would be from Ghost?
The pottery scene.
Okay, and so if we played the clip, would you be able to approximately translate what's being said simultaneously?
No.
Would you even have a go?
Just have a quick go. Well, listen.
What's he saying there? What's he saying there?
Oh, I've missed you.
What else?
where have you been?
That's pretty good, man. Carry on.
Is that the dialogue from Ghost? I've missed you. Where have you been?
That's a classic moment. Wait,
is it?
Yeah, don't you remember
What about,
that?
Jeff, what about something like the curve? The moist curves of your clay bulges run between my fingers like
lacrime.
Grass through a
lawnmower.
Jeff, are you still there?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It is beautiful. Jeff, you're wrong, man.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not Ghost at all.
I'm really sorry, Jeff. That was an amazingly good guess, though.
I mean, it was a very good bit of translation as well.
Yeah, that's good dialogue you got there, man.
Okay, thanks.
Listen, we're going to send you something anyway.
Send him The Exorcist anyway.
Yeah, we're going to send you The Exorcist box
anyway. It's
no
kind of a prize, really. It's sort of like a curse. Just having it in your house.
It's not. These have had the curses removed from them. So we're going to send you an uncursed Exorcist box, Jeff. Thank you so much for calling
thanks
in.
Thanks for calling, Jeff.
Thanks very much.
All right, man. Take care. Now, who else
we've also got St. John. Hello, St. John.
Hiya.
How you doing?
Good, yeah.
Yeah, and do you, what did you think there of Jeff's guess?
Well, I guess it's wrong.
Yeah. Do you think you've got it right?
I think so, yeah.
Can you speak the Italian?
Unfortunately not. Sono no Italiano.
So, how did you, that was pretty good, man. That was getting me a little bit turned on there. How did you go about guessing which scene it was then and what movie?
Well, I do know a little bit of Italian, but it was mainly the soundtrack.
Yeah,
very famous music.
Vangelis. Of course it's Blade Runner.
At the end, Time to Die.
Yeah. So you did all that just from the...
Time, like Tears in Rain.
Oh, he's going into it. Sorry, do that again. Give us as much as you want.
Well, it starts off, I've seen Starships on Fire.
Here, play the clip, get him to translate it like Jeff couldn't.
Okay, here we go.
Navi da combattimento in
What's
fiamme
he saying, St. John?
I've seen battles. I think it goes on to say I've seen starships on fire off the belt of Orion.
Balenare nel buio vicino alle porte di Tannhäuser.
I've watched sea beams glitter in the darkness at Tannhäuser Gate.
Ah, yeah.
That's what he's saying.
Tutti quei
All these moments will be lost in time.
Andranno perduti.
Tears.
Nel tempo.
In rain.
Time to die.
Come lacrime.
Oh, he doesn't get further than Tears in Rain, actually. Oh, does he?
Lacrime, that's Tears in Rain.
Yeah, it does.
Lacrime in la pioggia.
Wow.
Tears in Rain. There you go, that's a smash, that scene, isn't it? So, it's, the thing we always used to argue about was whether he was saying, attacked ships off the shores of Orion.
No, attacked ships on fire.
I think it's attacked ships, yeah.
Well, yeah, we kind of resolved it now. It is attack ships, so they're ships which attack.
Right.
On fire off the shoulder of Orion. But I always used to think it was attacked ships on fire. There's a ship on fire! Quickly attack it! That sort of thing. Which wouldn't be a very nice thing to do if it's on fire already.
No, they're on fire because they've been attacked.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's just the sort of beauty of them...
Let's talk about this for about 20 minutes.
Can we? Yeah. We're nearly there.
Okay, then. Hey, listen, St. John, congratulations. That's absolutely right. Thank you very much indeed for calling in.
I'm really looking forward to the prize. That's great. I love The Exorcist. It's a curse, but a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be good. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Schrader's made of the prequel and comparing it to the Harlan film.
Have you seen any of those ones at the end there, Jeff? The, sorry, St. John. The prequels?
I think I've seen one of them, and I don't think I was very particularly impressed. I can't remember which one it was. It's not that memorable, but...
Have you seen number three?
I don't think I have.
It's quite good. Yeah, very recommend good. It. You'll enjoy it. Sure. All right, have a good time, have some evil fun with that, and thank you very much indeed for calling in. This is Adam and John, XFM. We'll be back shortly.
XFM. Love music.
Love music.
Love music.
Love music.
If you think that a kiss is on the lips, come on, you got it all wrong. But you were hearing a different song.
Can't argue with the Stripes, really. People who say they're overrated can shut up.
But you know, we can argue about Stoned. Which we've both, turns out we've both been to see. This is the new biopic about, what's his name? Brian Jones.
Brian Jones of the Rolling Stones.
Yes, and it's being heavily hyped. Is it out this week?
It was out yesterday.
You can't move without seeing something to do with Stoned, because it's directed by Stephen Woolley, who's a fantastic producer, set up Palace Pictures and produced some of the most important movies of the 80s, like Company of Wolves and Absolute Beginners. He's a bit of a hero to me, really, because he almost single-handedly saved the British film industry in the 80s, when it was badly in the doldrums.
Mm.
And we used to get very excited about every film he made when we were teenagers, didn't we, Adam?
Yeah, and he's done a lot of kind of 60s biopics, in fact, hasn't he? He's done Backbeat he produced and Scandal, Scandal, It's a Scandal.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think he was responsible for producing.
I watched three films on the plane back from my little trip, and they were all, I thought, not very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid Stoned was one of them.
You can't review a film just having seen it on one of those little tellies on a plane.
The tellies aren't little on Virgin anymore. They're massive, and you can rewind and fast forward and pause the films, and you can choose any film from about 40 films.
Were you sitting in steerage or first?
I was sitting in business class, which was very, very uncomfortable.
How did you gain business class?
Air miles.
Air miles?
Yeah, upgraded with my air miles. But when the bloke reclined his seat, the bloke sitting in front reclined his seat, very nearly hit me in the face. And, you know those screens, if you're not looking at them straight on, the picture goes sort of negative.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You couldn't tilt it properly to see it.
That's very annoying.
Everybody on the plane was shoving the top of their monitors to try and get them to rotate to a position where they could be clearly seen. And it was pushing the heads of the person sleeping in front. Very bad. But basically, the business class on new Virgin planes is terrible.
You want a bulkhead seat where you can flip out the
better
TV
to be an economy on an empty flight. You can lie across four seats. Luxury. Anyway, so I saw three really bad films. This was the least bad film, Stoned. It's the one I'd recommend the most. The other two I saw were Shark Boy and Lava Girl. My God.
Why did you watch that, you lunatic?
It was the only other film I hadn't seen on
that's
there.
Robert Rodriguez, is it?
It's Robert Rodriguez, based on an idea by his 7-year-old son. Man, if you wanted to actually go about traumatising your child, that's what you do. Make a multi-million dollar film out of one of his silly dreams, and then have it floating around in the world for the rest of his life to haunt him. It's miserable. The other film I saw was Festival, about the Edinburgh Comedy Festival.
Mm. Yeah.
That's got some of the... It's a different topic, but it's got some of the least attractive sex scenes I've ever seen in any film.
Well, I heard that they were sort of bolted on in a rather unpleasant way, yeah.
Just revolting.
Like, the rest of the film is totally PG, more or less, and then suddenly there are these really shockingly explicit, weird sex scenes in there.
That's right. But anyway, that's another subject. Let's talk about Stoned.
Mm.
I was writing down all the rock biopic clichés in Stoned. Okay, and here they are. Cliché number one that Stoned does is it starts with this guy. I forget what the actor's name, but he's wearing a funny pudding bowl wig to look like Brian Jones, which doesn't look that realistic. And he's on the phone, and he's having one of those conversations where he repeats what, you know, the other person on the other end is saying, even though you can't hear it. So he goes, "My name? Brian Jones." That's almost the first line of the movie. Then he goes, "That's right. The Rolling Stones manager. 7:30 sound check. Great." It's like a Yellow Pages ad. Then later in the film, he goes, "Hello, Mick and Keith. What, they want to come down tomorrow?" Like that. What would happen in real life if you did make a call and repeated everything the other person said, as if there was someone listening who needed to understand everything? Would the person on the other end realise?
Yeah, well...
We should try that maybe one day.
I do that sometimes when I'm talking to famous people, so people know I'm on the phone
really?
To someone famous.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what? Terrible.
Ricky Gervais? Yeah. Okay, Ricky.
He never calls you.
I know, I'm just dreaming.
Cliche number two, photo flash freeze frames. So when there's a famous concert or something amazing's happening and there's photographers, it freeze frames on a camera flash.
Right.
Scorsese first did it brilliantly. Now it should be retired.
Absolutely.
Horribly overused. Cliche number four, deathbed flashbacks. Character who dies at the beginning of the movie and then you get flashbacks of his life, which are the most exciting moments from the movie. A woman in crazy 60s makeup leering at the camera going, woo! And it, you know, images like that flash really fast.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to think, oh, wow, I can't wait to see the context of that flash frame.
I think that's how the Doors were structured,
all of them
wasn't
do it?
It?
Yeah. All of them do it. How about this? A montage of international news reports interrupting each other, telling us how important this event is, but in different languages. So it goes, the Rolling Stones have played an extraordinary concerto in the... Do you know what I mean? And it switches languages. They first do it in Bugsy Malone when all the reporters rush to report the development of splurge guns.
Yeah.
And they cut from language to language. It does that one as well. Man, is this going on too long? What about adults playing schoolboys in flashbacks? So they have a flashback to Brian Jones' childhood, and it's just the same actor, wearing really heavy foundation, with his eyes a tiny bit wider, and an even sillier wig. Rubbish. How about this one? Soundtrack songs that explicitly state something that's happening in the scene. There's a bit in Stoned, when someone's knocking down a brick wall, and the soundtrack song goes, please don't break it down! But they're knocking down a wall. What's going on there?
And there was the other one is they have quite a silly cliche drug montage where they play White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane.
Do they?
One pill makes you bigger and the other pill makes you
there
tiny.
You go. That's such a cliche. How about this one? Someone shatters a mirror in anger, punches it, then you get a shot of their face like splintered in the shards.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Because they're personality has been splintered.
That's right.
Yeah, they do that one
I
as well.
I don't like those shots because you always think, ooh, that's going to hurt. You're going to lacerate your knuckles.
Surely, yeah, it would cut your knuckles up.
Yeah.
A la Apocalypse Now.
But
I've just got one more, one
go
last
on,
one. What about when there's a character playing an instrument, just a single instrument, and then it's joined on the soundtrack by a full band.
Right.
To try and capture what's going on in that guy's head.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's quite a good cliche. That's one of the better ones. But, man, Stoned is basically just wall-to-wall rock biopic cliches.
Sometimes that's what you want. I find those quite comforting sometimes. Can
yeah.
I say that I found it an enjoyable watch as
Paddy
well?
Constantine is great in it.
Constantine.
But they kind of... Constantine. They kind of waste that story. Because there's a really good story in there about a plumber that works for Brian Jones.
Williams is extraordinary.
Williams plays a lawyer. Yeah, David Williams.
He's
but,
in there.
That good story is really swamped by very conventional biopic tropes. Can I say tropes on XFM?
No, you can't.
Okay.
Now we're going to have to play the Decemberists. I would still recommend Stone personally. I thought it was pretty enjoyable. So you're overruled, Cornish.
Damn.
Get out. Here's the Decemberists, 16 Military Wives. Wow, there you go. That's the Decemberists with 16 Military Wives.
Yeah, that's the first single to be taken from the Portland, Oregon Quintet's third album, Picaresque, coming out through Rough Trade. You can hear them live in session on Exposure with Claire Sturgis between 9 and 11 on Wednesday, November the 23rd.
La di da di da di da di da di da. That's like something from the 60s, isn't it?
Mm.
Anyway, this is Adam and Joe on XFM. We'll be back. We still haven't really quizzed Joe Cornish about his exciting trip to Los Angeles. I think we should do that in the second hour. Plus, Joe will be unveiling some extraordinary R. Kelly
news.
So stick with us here on XFM.
Love music. Love XFM. Love XFM. XFM. XFM.
like rock, the rocket. I like you to rock.
Good gracious me. Are you all right?
I like rocking.
Do try and calm down.
I'm
quiet.
Sorry.
That's the Foo Fighters with Resolve. This is Adam Buxton.
And Joe Cornish. So listen, if I were to ask you, listeners, even though I can't hear your reply, who your least favourite R&B singer was, because most listeners to XFM don't like the rhythm and blues, the R&B.
You know,
they might like a bit of hip-hop. Nobody likes R&B apart from me. And who would you say their least popular, most idiotic R&B singer was? Yeah, the answer's R. Kelly, obviously, because we've been talking about it through the whole show. Yeah. So I've got to keep you listeners up to date with R. Kelly news, because he's released the most extraordinary thing. R. Kelly's released a kind of soap opera record. It's actually 12 three-minute singles. That's correct, 12 three-minute singles. And he's made 12 little videos to go with them. And they've been slowly released over the last few months. And this whole soap opera is called Trapped in the Closet.
Mm-hmm.
So, in America, I picked up the DVD of all 12 episodes of Trapped in the Closet. And for R. Kelly, this is an amazingly innovative thing. He's invented a new genre of music, right? The R&B soap opera. The single, which has a cliffhanger ending. So you've got to buy the next single in order to find out what happens next in the story.
That's amazing.
It's quite a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
And in the video, basically, R. Kelly sings all the different parts. It's like Neighbours, bit riskier, He sings all the parts in different voices, and he does have a very, very good voice.
Yeah.
But he's also got quite a good, sense of the absurd. So, basically, don't worry, this isn't going to take very long. I'm just going to play you, basically, the climactic moments from some of these episodes. What I'm playing you is, like, the last 10 seconds of each episode. So, let's just get a feel for it. The story starts with R. Kelly locked in a closet.
So we should say that these are going to be spoilers, right?
If you do intend to listen to R. Kelly's R&B soap opera, Trapped in the Closet, in full, then maybe, turn your ears away at this point.
Yeah.
But if you don't, then here's a little sort of synopsis. So in episode one, we find R. Kelly locked in the cupboard of a woman who he's picked up at a club. And the reason he's in the cupboard is because this woman's husband, Rufus, has come home, and R. Kelly's cell phone has gone off while he's in the closet.
Yeah.
And now Rufus is advancing towards the closet, about to reveal R. Kelly. So this is the climax of episode one. So if you play the first clip.
Here we go.
He walks up to the closet, get closer to the closet. Now he's at the closet, now he's opening the closet.
So there you go, it's quite a good idea, isn't it? Like, what's going to happen next when he opens the closet?
It's pretty literal.
It's very literal, yeah. So what happens is R. Kelly and Rufus confront each other. They pull their guns very quickly. There's a lot of gunplay in this soap opera.
Yeah.
Rufus is furious, obviously, with R. Kelly for cheating with his wife, yeah. I think she is. There's a massive fight, but then suddenly Rufus reveals that he too has a lover. And his lover is actually...
I do have a lover.
Very similar
lover,
lyric.
I do have a lover.
And his lover is coming up the stairs right now.
She's coming up the stairs.
So this is the climax of episode two. Who is Rufus's lover going to be? So let's hear it.
Okay.
Then a knock on the door. The girl's in my head. He opens the door. I can't believe it's a man.
Rufus's lover is a man.
He is a homosexual.
So Rufus is quite literally trapped in the closet. Very clever of R. Kelly there.
That's brilliant.
You know, playing with both levels of that phrase.
Yeah.
So that's episode two. Rufus has a gay lover, and his name is Chuck.
Yeah.
He sings that, but I won't traumatise you with that. R. Kelly can't take it, so he heads home to see his girlfriend, Gwendolyn. Gwendolyn and R. Kelly make love. And obviously it's amazing, because R. Kelly is the world's greatest lover. But just as they reach their climax, R. Kelly sees something beneath the covers. Play clip three.
You're the perfect lover. I said, I can't go no farther. Then I flip back the cover. Oh my God, oh Robert.
Can you believe that? He's found a condom in the sheets.
Oh, I thought he said a robber.
No, a rubber.
Oh my God, a robber. He's gonna nick my gun and my phone.
So R. Kelly's wife is also having an affair.
Why, I don't understand. I see, right, he's seen a used condom
In the sheets.
In the sheets.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
Really
so then
nice.
All kinds of stuff goes down. a cop turns up. Gwendolyn's brother turns up. There's a fight. Gwendolyn's brother's called Tron. Tron gets shot. I'm skipping three or four episodes here because it gets very detailed. The thing builds to an extraordinary climax.
He's called Tron.
He's got a brother called Tron. It's a good name for a kid. It's better than calling him Last Starfighter. Or, I don't know.
No.
Anyway, so at the height of the violence, Tron's been shot. It's a massive, you know, climactic moment. There's a knock at the door. Who is going to be behind the door? Okay, play the next clip.
Oh, I'm excited.
Count to three, Tron open the door and it's rolled the nosy neighbor. You want a spatula in her head. Like that's gonna do something against them guns.
A spatula.
It's Rosie the Nosy. Neighbor.
Wait for it, man. It gets better. So we thought it was gonna be another plot twist. It was Rosie the Nosy Neighbor. With a spatula in her hand,
spatula! Like that's gonna do something against that guy!
Have you ever heard the word spatula more beautifully sung? Okay. So, they invite Rosie in, various other twists happen, and we end up going back to the cop's house. The cop's married to a kind of white trash, woman, who's acting very suspiciously. And he starts to suspect that she's got someone hiding in her closet as well.
No.
But actually not in her closet, under the sink. In the cabinet, under the sink. So, the cop approaches the cabinet under the sink, because there's a noise coming from in there, and he opens it. So play the next clip. This is what he finds under the sink.
Because what I'm about to say to y'all is so damn twisted. Not only is there a man in his cabinet, but the man is a midget. Midget. Midget.
She's having an affair with a midget.
I like the way it sort of echoes at the end of all the climaxes.
Man, in the video itself, that's amazing. It jump cuts between R. Kelly in different poses, singing, midget, midget, midget. Extraordinary. Okay, and bear with me, there's one more clip. It's hard to explain what happens between that climax and the next one. But basically, R. Kelly and Tron show up. Everyone pulls their guns. There's a big argument. Suddenly, the cop's wife reveals that she's pregnant. But by who? Who got her pregnant? It's the final clip.
Okay.
The midget's the baby. Daddy.
Wow. The midget's the baby's daddy.
Is that the end of the whole thing?
No. No. It isn't the end of the whole thing, but I genuinely recommend that if you can get your hands on that DVD, it's one of the strangest and funniest things I've ever seen.
Man, I really want to see that. Can I borrow that off you?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's only the tip of the iceberg. But there you go, R&B news.
That's amazing. Right, we'd better play some music. We've been talking for a while. This is the Dead 60s. You're listening to Adam and Joe on XFM.
The return of the Ghost!
This is XFM.
Very good, well done. Hey, listen, Adam, and listeners,
yep.
On the Weekend Breakfast with Gareth Brooks, it's your chance to win prizes, including an O2 iMode phone. iMode is the new mobile phone internet service exclusively from O2 that gives you access to the internet at the touch of a button. That bit's written in bold, so I emphasised it. O2 are also giving you the chance to test iMode within an interactive area in Covent Garden from the 17th to the 20th of November. So go check it out. What does that mean? They're giving you the chance to test iMode. Oh, I see. So you can go and access the internet in Covent Garden. Brilliant.
I wonder if they'll let you look at ladies with no clothes.
Probably.
Oh, I love the internet.
Internet at the touch of a button. That's the key thing. That's the key phrase.
Thanks for telling me all that,
man. That's all right, man.
I really missed you last weekend, and
hey,
I'm so glad you're back to tell me that kind of thing.
That kind of thing, yeah. Well, that's exciting,
yeah,
isn't it?
That is exciting.
So, do you want to hear any stories from my trip to Los Angeles?
Come on, then. What was Steven Spielberg like?
I didn't meet Steven Spielberg, but I did go onto the set of Superman 3. Not Superman, Spider-Man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
With directed by Sam Raimi.
By Sam Raimi, yeah. Met Sam Raimi. That's that name dropping.
That's the first name drop.
Yeah. And I shook the hand of Thomas Hayden Church, dressed as Sandman. But you know what? I can't tell you anything that I saw there, because it's all
top secret.
It's all secret, yeah.
Wow. I heard from Simon Pegg that Edgar was invited to direct a scene by Sam Raimi.
Kinda, yeah, yeah.
Is that an exaggeration?
Well, I don't know. It's just indiscreet to talk about it, but, yeah, no, it was kind of in a joking sort of a way.
Yeah, like as a mark of respect.
As a mark of respect,
from one zombie fan to another.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
but
exciting.
I can't tell Edgar's stories for him like some sort of terrible second-hand idiot. So he'll have to come and tell it himself.
But you're my favourite terrible second-hand idiot.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, but the one thing I was really excited about was I was hanging out with I can't even speak these things.
Come
with
on.
Matt Stone, who's a really, really nice guy. Yeah, it's terrible, isn't it? But we were talking about South Park and how amazing South Park is, basically. For me, South Park's sort of overtaken The Simpsons, really, in terms of excitement and you know, keeping the quality up. And it's an amazing show because they can literally talk about anything they want. They can be as insulting or subversive as they want. And nobody seems to care.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that to him and he said, well, wait for this Wednesday's episode. Not in the UK, but in the States. It's an episode about Scientology, and it went out last Wednesday in the US, and it's got Tom Cruise in it. And one of the plot lines is Tom Cruise comes over to Cartman's house, and he gets stuck in Cartman's closet. So for the whole episode, they're going, Tom, come out of the closet! Apparently over and over again. You understand?
Yeah, I think
get
I
it?
Understand.
And basically, they were delivering this episode the night before it went out. They finished South Park pretty much the night before it goes out, which I didn't realise, to put super topical stuff in. And Matt thought this might be the end of the road. He thought they might have finally pushed it too far, because they're baiting the crews and they're baiting the Scientologists, two of the most litigious
and powerful
bodies in the world.
Don't abuse the crews.
And so the next night, after it had gone out in the States, I'd left by then, but I was looking at the talkback on Ain't It Cool, and people were going crazy.
What, saying, wow,
saying
that was
brilliant,
amazing.
Saying it was the best South Park.
Why, because they'd implied that Tom Cruise was gay?
just because it was really funny and daring and ballsy. And I can't wait to see it.
Daring and ballsy.
You don't sound convinced.
I don't dig Cruise bashing personally. I'm pro Cruise. And I think
Cruise too.
There's more genuinely important and subversive things that can be done than just call someone gay.
Yeah, I haven't seen the episode yet. So I might not have described it properly.
I don't think
And you know, that might just be one joke out of many, but I think it sounds brilliant. And
what's the worst thing you can say about Cruise is that he's so rich, he's a bit insincere. I don't know. Simon Pegg, again, I was talking to him the other day, I hope he doesn't mind me mentioning the fact that he's just done some work on Mission Impossible 3. Thought Cruise was a lovely fellow, and, he just seems like one of the less evil people in the world to me. Don't you think?
Yeah, probably, but, you know, I don't know, I think that sounds like a funny episode.
I'm not knocking the funniness of the episode, just questioning the Cruise bashing. I love Tom Cruise and
I think he can take it, you know? I think he can probably take it.
I don't think he can. I think he's in terrible trouble.
No, we can't say anything, otherwise he'll sue us.
No, he wouldn't sue me. He loves me. Because I love him.
You just want to get a bit part in Mission Impossible, don't you?
Partly, yes, I do. Mission Impossible 4. If anyone's listening, I'd love to do a little bit. Okay, here's another free play for you. This is a band that Joe got me into, in fact, when we were back at school. Orange Juice, fronted by the mighty Edwin Collins. This is a track called Craziest Feeling. It's a peach. Orange Juice with Craziest Feeling. This is Adam and Joe on XFM. So I wanted to follow up on a little bit of stuff that we talked about the other week. We were asking people if they thought we should go on and be interviewed for Channel 4's forthcoming 100 Greatest Funny Moments. One of our clips from the Adam and Joe show called 20% Free, where we went in and nicked all the free bits in a shop, is turning up in this
yes.
rundown.
Yeah, and they asked us to do an interview, and we asked you, the listeners, whether we should do it. And you all said we should, so we did.
Yeah, we did. I really, really regret it.
Well, I could tell you were in a bad mood, Ad. Not in a bad mood, but I could tell you weren't enjoying yourself.
Really? I thought you weren't enjoying yourself.
Well, there was a woman who was very nice, but we were sitting doing this interview, and the woman actually interviewing us was being very polite, but the producer was sitting exactly in our eye line, just to the right of this woman interviewing us, looking more bored than I've ever seen anybody in the world. As if, and probably what we were saying was boring, but she looked as if every word was slowly killing her. And then after about 20 minutes, she started saying to the woman interviewing us, Jill, 10 minutes, come on, no more than 10 minutes, come on, wrap it up, just in front of us. And then she started going, come on, the next, Nathan's waiting. Nathan from Brother Beyond, who was the next guy up to the interview, was waiting. Come on, it's just, it was quite rude.
Yeah,
you know?
I wasn't upset about that at all. I mean, I think, you know.
I tell you the other thing that happened to me is I started forgetting what her questions were and just talking as if I was being interviewed by God or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, you forgot to talk in sound bites.
I did forget to talk in sound bites. and I stopped myself because I was just going into the stories that I wanted to tell about how brilliant it was, the show was.
It was, oh man, I just, it was...
Do you think we're going to look like idiots?
Yeah. I mean, we just took ourselves seriously. Like, we didn't do commentaries on our DVD for exactly that reason, to be so vain as to go on about how brilliant we are. And then we just...
We didn't ever say we were brilliant, did we?
Well, it was... I thought it was a shame that we did it. But there you go. I suppose it's... I don't think anyone cares.
What was the worst thing we said?
Oh, it was...
What was the worst thing I said? Was it something I said?
No. It was just the fact that we did it, you know? Just the fact that I really had made a vow never to be associated with another Top 100 show ever again. And just because they were talking about our clip, in I go and start going on, yes, well, it all came from an idea that we had. it was dreadful. Anyway,
So that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, there you go.
When's it going out? In the spring?
April or something next year.
We could just call them up and say, don't use it.
I was thinking about
it.
I was thinking about it.
Yeah?
Yep. I was thinking, listen, have your money. But then we would have wasted an hour of their time and they had a crew and everything.
No, they don't care. That'd be fine. Well, pull it. Pull it.
Pull it, for goodness sake. Well, I might talk to our agent this week.
So listen, Diddy's in the Dock coming up in the next 20 minutes. The theme, can I reveal the theme this week?
Go on then.
It's monkey songs.
We should probably do it right now, shouldn't we?
Songs pertaining to or involving... or associated with, somehow, monkeys. And this is in advance... Ooh, hello. This is in advance of the release of King Kong, which is going to be Peter Jackson's King Kong. It's going to be everywhere in a couple of weeks. We thought we'd steal a march on the competition and get our monkey business out of the way ahead of time.
Yeah. So what... do you want to... We may as well pitch them now. We've got, like, 20 minutes left
okay.
in the show.
I'm going to go for the theme from Monkey, the famous Japanese martial arts adventure series, dubbed into English and shown in the UK... in the early 80s, the adventures of Pigsy, Sandy, Tripitaka, and Monkey, who of course had massive sideburns and sort of looked like he was from Penge, didn't he?
Penge?
He did, he looked more British than Japanese.
Yeah.
And Monkey, of course, involved them chasing each other on souped-up clouds, transforming into animals, randomly changing gender confusingly, and kung-fu kicking various demons that they met on some quest for something that I could never quite work out. The theme tune is amazing. It's a kind of funk rock workout by a Japanese band called Godiego, who recorded it in 1978. And that's what I want you to vote for, the theme from Monkey. And as an extra thing, the theme I've got, it's got an amazing introduction, Monkey. Do you remember? It had a voiceover that climaxed with him saying, the nature of Monkey was
irrepressible.
The version I've got doesn't have that on it, but I'm going to ask you, Adam Buxton, to read... the monkey voiceover over it.
If you win, that is.
If I win. Okay? So that's... If you want to hear the theme from Monkey, call 0871 221049.
So you've craftily co-opted me into your song there, you see, to try and increase the likelihood that you'll get voted for.
Well, I'm in trouble. I haven't won for about 4 weeks.
Well, it's a tough one, and you're gonna... This is probably a little bit lazy, and I hope your one wins. I'll be unashamed about that.
Have you
that.
Picked another rock classic?
Yeah.
It's not the Beatles, is it?
No. What's the most famous indie monkey song, Lila?
believer.
No. I thought it actually had to have Monkey in the title.
Oh, okay. Well,
is it George Michael with Monkey?
No. Come on,
what
face
is it?
Monkey.
Is it the Specials?
Is it indie rock classic?
Oh, no, I was going to say the Funky Given.
It's the Pixies. And I know I had the Pixies last week, but listen.
Man, it's a good challenge. The
I'm
Pixies
on a roll.
Versus the theme from Monkey.
Pixies with Monkey Gone to Heaven. I really don't need to say that much about it because most XFM listeners will be familiar with it.
It's a good song, man, but I'd say overplayed.
Sure, absolutely. Certainly, I wouldn't argue with that. But
then so's the theme from Monkey, really.
Yeah. Is it? You know, I tried to watch Monkey again the other day. It's not as enjoyable as I remember it. That beginning is still amazing.
The beginning's amazing, and it did have some amazing bits. It was, the translation was done by a British guy who also did the water margin, and he completely reinvented the script and made it interesting and funny.
Uh-huh.
But you obviously don't agree.
Well, maybe I'll reapply myself. I certainly absolutely loved that show when I was growing up.
Man, the theme tune is a genuinely brilliant bit of music.
Yeah.
Really funky and strange.
Okay, so vote now. It's Monkey versus Pixies.
And can I say, everybody who gets on the air wins a copy of the Happy Mondays Greatest Hits.
0871-222-1049. We'll be back shortly.
XFM. Music. Love XFM.
Sodden.
Stop it.
Hey, listen, so before we resolve ditties in the dock, a couple of people have emailed...
I should just say who that was. That was Maximo Park with a Blyton Pressure.
Sorry. A couple of people have emailed about, have seen that episode of South Park and said it's great. And apparently it's also got R. Kelly... telling, sort of reporting on the whole thing, telling Tom Cruise to come out of the closet.
Oh, wow.
Fitting with the whole trapped in the closet thing. Man, there I can't wait to see that. These people have downloaded it off the internet.
It's poetic.
How do you do that?
What, downloaded the episode?
Yeah, it's BitTorrent.
Oh, my
gosh. Sounds illegal.
I'll have to come around and see them. Right. Ditties in the dark.
So this week it's a monkey clash. In anticipation of Peter Jackson's King Kong, two Monkey songs, I chose the theme from Monkey, the 80s dubbed Japanese TV show. Adam chose the Pixies with Monkey Gone to Heaven.
Correct. So, we have some people on the line, and the first person to get the best of five will win.
Yes.
And Sarah.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hello, I'm fine, thanks.
Are you okay? How old are you, Sarah?
17.
Studying for exams?
Huh?
Are you studying for exams? All teenagers are constantly studying for exams. Yeah, and it's going okay, is it?
Yeah, it's going well, thanks.
Good. Adam, questions for Sarah.
Sarah, what are you up to this weekend?
Good question.
Night, I'm having a party.
You're having a party?
Yeah, at my house, so it's pretty nice.
Would it be inappropriate to have two men in their 30s at your party?
I'm sure it wouldn't be.
Would it be inappropriate if I snogged one of your friends? Who was 17? They wouldn't mind. Brilliant. Okay, well, just text the address.
I'll see you later.
What are you voting for, Sarah?
I'm voting for the theme tune to Monkey.
Hey! Because what?
She's never heard it.
Have you ever seen Monkey, Sarah?
No, I haven't. It's an 80s
TV. Yeah, it's a mid-80s thing, yeah, so you would pretty much roundly miss it. I think it's repeated on one of the cable stations.
In fact, it's safe to say that the majority of our cultural references will bypass almost all our listeners.
Well, yes.
Because we are quite old. Anyway, thank you very much for your call. Have a good time tonight, and please don't be silly. All right, Sarah? Just don't be silly. All right?
Don't do horse drugs.
Yeah,
just because Kate Moss does them doesn't mean they're sexy and glamorous. They're for horses.
Put down the horse drugs. Neil, how are you doing?
Good afternoon. I'm well, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
Well, thanks, Neil.
What are you up to? Are you having fun this weekend, or are you working?
I am currently working.
Have you accidentally glued your teeth together, Neil?
I haven't, no.
Wow. It just sounds a bit like you're talking with your teeth glued together.
He's on the loo.
He's on the
Neil, are you, what's the nature of your work?
I'm delivering parcels at the moment.
Oh, well done.
Delivering parcels.
In the Great Croydon.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. What, really early in the morning?
No.
It seems to me delivering parcels is a license to just ring people's doorbells before 5 or 6.
It's good fun, yeah.
It is fun. You must see a lot of quite sexy ladies who've just got out of bed. Because men don't get up that early.
There's been times, but then you get the complete opposite of that as well.
Do you?
Wow. About hairy men.
Ooh, sexy.
Are you an elf?
What?
Not today.
Do you think he works for Santa?
Yes!
Oh, Adam, it's exciting!
It's Christmas!
What's it like working for Santa, Neil?
What's he like?
What's Santa really like?
He's a luxurious beard.
Wow.
Neil, what are you going to vote for?
That's insider knowledge on Santa.
Monkey, the theme tune, or Pixies?
Pixies, please.
Okay, come on. You got to get one in the bag for the indie rock classic.
Thanks for your call, Neil. No, one all. What am I talking about? And Spike's on the line. Hello, Spike.
Hello.
Are you Spike Jones? Say yes.
No.
I'm back.
Couldn't even manage that. Spike, what are you up to?
Working at the moment.
Yeah, what are you working at?
Painting and decorating.
Ah.
Which do you prefer?
Decorating.
Which is your favourite?
£5 an hour more.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow. Man, I need my office done, actually. Maybe I'll chop
down. At the moment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you good? Honestly, are you good? Or are you a bit shoddy? Do you cut corners?
No corners cut here.
Really?
Experience.
Really?
Do you clean up after yourself nicely?
Of course I do. Hoover up as well.
Oh, excellent. Spike, you sound brilliant. We highly recommend Spike. So what are you voting for, Spike?
It's got to be the theme tune from Monkey. Take it back to my childhood.
Yeah, well
Spike. You used to watch the show, right?
I used to rush home to watch it. Never missed it.
It was amazing. You don't really get shows like that on anymore at all. Hey, thanks for your vote, Spike, and good luck with the painting and decorating
today.
Thank you,
Spike.
And hope it goes well, continues to go well. Ian, are you there?
Yeah, hi.
How are you?
Not bad, thanks. Not too bad.
Now, we're running out of time a little bit, so we might have to rush you. What are you going to go for, Ian? Are you going to go for the Pixies or Monkey?
It's got to be Monkey.
Oh, and it takes it. There you go.
Finally,
that's the deciding vote.
After 4 weeks.
Thank you very much, Ian.
Hey, thanks, Ian. And we should apologise to Aidan, who's also hanging on. Can we get Aidan in very quickly?
Aidan, are you there?
Say words, Aidan.
Hang on. Aiden's gone.
Oh, Aiden's gone. Well, quite right, because
he heard that Monkey had won, he slammed down his phone and he said, yes, justice has been done. Cornish has taken it with a Monkey.
So, hey, thanks, everybody, for listening and texting and emailing, you know, and we'll see you next week.
Right, so I'm going to do the intro for this,
am I? So this is the theme from Monkey by whatever they were called, Goddy Go Go.
Goddy Go Go.
I sounded like I knew what I was talking about before, but now I've exposed myself
Google
as a
Gaga.
Knowledgeless.
You're just a paper shuffler. You just read
I've
things
lost
off
my
paper.
Piece of paper. Goddy Ego, they were called.
There you go.
And it's free of the voiceover, so Adam's going to perform the voiceover. Have a great week, everybody.
Yeah. In the worlds before Monkey, primal chaos reigned. Heaven sought order. But the phoenix can fly only when its feathers are grown.
True.
The four worlds formed again and yet again.
Ooh.
And endless eons wheeled and passed.
Mm.
Time and pure essences of heaven, the moisture of earth, the powers of the sun and moon all worked upon a certain rock.
Ooh.
Old as creation, and it became magically fertile. That first egg was named Thought. From it came a stone monkey. The nature of monkey was...
What?
Irrepressible! Love you, bye!
He knew everything.
XFM.